Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. The economic impact of the coronavirus pandemic has been really hard on so many businesses, and one local industry that's been forced to quickly innovate in order to survive is restaurants. Right now, restaurants in Massachusetts are only allowed to offer delivery and takeout, but they've still taken a massive economic hit. The Massachusetts Restaurant Association says that at least 211,000 jobs have already disappeared in the industry, and state restaurants lost an estimated $1.3 billion in April. Many have no idea when they may be able to reopen for full service and what that might even look like. And we're going to talk about that with two local restaurants and ask them how they're handling all of these changes. We also want to hear from you. Are you worried about the survival of your favorite restaurants and bars? What are they? Are you still ordering takeout and delivery from them? And what's that been like? And interestingly, I really want to know, what will it take to get you back into a restaurant for a sit-down meal? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or tweet us at Radio Boston. Here to help us have this conversation is Tim Athanasiades. Tim, did I do that right, Athanasiades?
Very good.
Thank you, owner of Asperia Grill in Brighton. I know I've said it before, Tim, but I always struggle a little bit. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
And Nia Grace, proprietor and general manager of Daryl's Corner Bar and Kitchen in the South End. Nia, also, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So, Tim, listen, when we last spoke over a month ago, it was just after the colleges had closed down. Students were a big part of your business, and you were worried about whether you'd have any business at all. Now, a lot has changed since then. Restaurants are forced to close table service but can do other parts of the work. How are you operating now, and how's it going?
We have seen a surge. In other words, we've seen a rise in our sales. In the beginning, it was very difficult. Nobody knew where this thing was going, what direction it was heading at. But I think people now are finally starting to branch out. I think everybody's starting to feel a little bit more comfortable eating out. A lot of people are done cooking at home. You know what I'm saying? Enough is enough.
Yes.
So, you know, we're very grateful to the patrons of Asperia. And I just hope it keeps going upwards all the time. We're still down. I mean, we're nowhere near what we used to be. We used to do a decent lunch crowd, and we used to be packed at dinner time. Obviously, that's gone. But I feel that some of our customers who used to come in for dinner are part of that takeout and delivery business. So, I'm optimistic. I'm grateful, and I'm glad to tell you that we're better than when we spoke last time.
I'm glad to hear that. Nia, like Tim, you're also doing takeout and delivery, but you have this added dimension of being both a restaurant and a bar. So what does business look like at Daryl's right now? How much staff do you have on, and how's it going?
Yeah, we also took that same turn in doing takeout, but with the piece of being a bar, we lost 90% of our income. We also not only do bar service, but we're also live entertainment, and so a lot of that really requires obviously in-person activity. And so with that change, we had to lay off 87%, almost 90% of our workforce. We're on a very, very lean team. We operate mm-hmm. only Friday through Sunday, and we had to limit out hours and even change our menu.
Let me ask you both. Closure now is likely to last really at least through May. The next big hash mark for the governor is May 18th, but that's really the date that his advisory board will deliver a report to him and a set of recommendations about how to reopen. How long can each of you survive with just takeout and delivery?
You want who's going
go
first?
Go ahead, Tim. Tim, go ahead.
If the sales stay the way we are now, I will be okay. I have most of my staff here, with the exception of the wait staff. Everybody else is working. Said it before, and I'll say it again. As long as I can pay my bills, I have no problem keeping everyone here, and I'm very grateful. I did get that PPP assistance, so I'm going to make sure that all of that money goes to these kids.
And that's the personal paycheck program?
Yes.
I'm sorry,
The SBA administration yeah. was graceful enough to help little guys like me. So therefore, I'd say for the next 10 weeks, I should be just fine.
But Nia, interestingly, so Tim talked about using this PPP loan program, and we did a segment on that, I think it was last week here on Radio Boston, but that program didn't make sense for you. What's different about your business that it didn't?
So with the PPP, as we understand it, from the day that you receive the loan, you have 8 weeks to rehire your workforce, essentially to the amount that you had before the crisis began, in order to have that piece forgiven. And for most small business owners like myself, I would say that, you know, you don't really want another loan on top of any other bills that you have, especially in a moment where you had to defer a lot of payments. For us, where we're also, you know, sitting on a product of alcohol, we can't do anything. You know, the further back the opening of our state, the further we just have to kind of sit and wait and see what we're going to be able to do. So for us, the PPP is hope. We're hopeful that we'll be able to use it, but there's no guarantee that we're going to be able to use it for what they probably intended it for initially.
And just to be clear for listeners, that's the Paycheck Protection Program, and it's money that allows you to keep people on payroll, and you don't have to pay it back if you keep a certain ratio of it on payroll over a period of time, just to be clear. I'd like to get a call in here, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Mark on the line from Milford. Mark, go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing this afternoon?
Well,
fine,
thanks.
Mark. How are you?
Hi.
Good, thank you. Yeah, it's funny because I listen to you guys all the time, and when you asked that question, the answer came into my head so quickly, it wasn't even something to even think about, and I called right away. But the only
What was the question?
About what it would take to get me back to my favorite restaurant or bar.
Yeah, yeah.
And that would, and the only way I would go back in is if there was, if I had a vaccine. Other than that, being in my early 70s, I just don't have. It just scares me half to death. The thought about, especially the people that are asymptomatic and whatnot, and I didn't want to live off my golden years on a respirator.
Mark, what's the restaurant you would go back to if there were a vaccine?
Oh, if there was a vaccine, my favorite restaurant's in Newport, the Black Pearl. I don't get into Boston that much. I summer in Rhode Island, and then I've got my local haunts here in Milford. But at the end of the day, I just have to be assured that, you know, I could survive my favorite meal.
Yeah, Mark, I appreciate the honest answer. Nia, I heard some sounds from you. I can't imagine that hearing that is easy. So let me invite your reaction.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's not easy at all. And I feel the same way. You know, there will be the ones who are like, you know, we need vaccine in order to come back out. And then they're going to be the ones who are going to try it, but it's just going to be a phase for us. So it hurts because, you know, we miss our customers, but that is truly the reality. And so for even if we are to open up May 18th or if it's June 1st, I don't see customers really returning, you know, even at half capacity until maybe August or September. I see that we have a road ahead of us with this.
So this is one of the things that I've wondered, and I invite both of you to answer this. I imagine that there's a certain capacity you have to hit to have it be worth rehiring wait staff and sort of ramping up to have people sitting in the restaurant again. How do you make that calculation? How do you know when it makes sense to reopen that portion of your business, given what we did just hear from a caller like Mark? Tim, maybe you can start.
Sure. For me, we need to know what the rules are, first of all, when we get to that level. And if it's 25%, like they said, that would be just 11 seats for me. So financially, it's not feasible for me to go that way. I would have to wait until we can do at least, I don't know, 50, 75% seating capacity, where how do you get people to be comfortable at that? Otherwise, it's just not going to work. You know, we need to know what exactly we have to do once they say, okay, open your doors for sit down. And it's really difficult to answer that question. But again, it has to be financially, you know, there to take care of a certain amount of people, so you can turn over, a profit.
Listeners, yeah. We're talking about restaurants. What will it take for them to survive? Which restaurants you most want to give a shout out to and try to keep open during this pandemic? Call in support of your restaurant, in support of Tim and Nia. What are your thoughts about how we keep restaurant businesses going as we find our way through this new normal? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Nia, go ahead.
Yeah, I would agree with Tim that we absolutely need to know what the guidelines are going to be in order for us to come up with a sound calculation. I will say that I know that the Massachusetts Restaurant Association is pushing forward with, things that have been given by the CDC in terms of social distancing, 6 feet, having the appropriate signage, not really trying to reduce capacity by a percentage, but more so letting each venue make sure that they're responsible for that 6 feet of social distancing guideline when we get to that point. And so that you can try to find it to be fruitful for you. For us, we won't know again either, but I know that if we had to reduce our capacity by 50%, we would have only 7 tables in the restaurant, and that wouldn't be something that we could survive off of nightly.
Correct.
I want to ask you both, in Georgia, they do have guidelines. We don't have them yet in Massachusetts. The guidelines for restaurants that want to reopen, there are 39 of them. At what point is it complicated enough to take that part of your business back open again that you just remain takeout focused, for a very long period of time because the guidelines are so much to have to do?
Yeah, I think that, for us, the 39 bullets, if it's 40, if it's 50, that's really cumbersome. A big piece of our business is the intimacy and the interaction amongst guests. For us, we're also a very small, we're a pretty tiny venue. We got a lot of, oomph, but at the same time, having a band and then having the guests, it kind of makes the entire experience impossible. And I think now we're faced with, do we try to preserve, how do we preserve the business and preserve our images and preserve, the experience and the history that people are used to from us at this point. So it will be hard for us, I think, to come out in that phase one of a plan. It might be phase two or three. And that's really if we make it to that point.
Let's grab another call, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Brian's on the line from Stowe. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. Hi. Go ahead.
It's my first time on the radio, I guess.
Go ahead, Brian. What'd you call for?
I just give a special thanks to Kennedy's Pub in Marlboro.
Is that the one that you most want to try to keep open?
Yeah, that's my favorite lunch spot. And I noticed they've been doing renovations during the close time, so maybe it'll be something new when it opens.
So, Brian, they're not offering any takeout or carry-out service of any kind right now. They're fully shut down.
I'm not sure. They have a marketplace out front, so I go there for lunch.
So
the market is still open. Yeah, the market's still open.
Got it. Thanks for that call and for the shout-out. Kennedy's, we're thinking of you. Tim, we heard Nia say it before. Brian implied it. There's a community to your local restaurant, to your local pub. How do we keep that sense of community and dining out together when we're bringing the food home?
I believe that the number one thing we need to do is get people to be comfortable of coming in and sitting down. But the restaurant experience is the one that when you go there, the mingling is a part of it. Obviously, the great food and to have a nice glass of wine or a nice cold beer. But, serving 10 people in a restaurant that usually serves about, 44 people isn't going to cut it. But what we need to do now is focus on getting people to come in and to be relaxed and enjoy that meal and get that atmosphere that we had before this happened. That's what I believe.
Nia, how about you?
Yeah, I think, getting the customer to be comfortable is one thing, but also even the staff. I don't know, you know, what everyone else is going through, but I imagine that staffing is going to be harder. We'd already experienced it where we even had just a few positions that we could offer, and our staff was scared to come out, and rightfully so. And so, you know, we have to, yeah, try to kind of quell those fears on both sides. But I think a concern for us, too, is when do we, I think for me, it's about some of the other businesses who don't even have an opportunity to do the takeout. What's going to happen to those businesses? You know,
Nia, we're going to take some more calls now. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Caleb on the line from Mashpee. Caleb, go ahead.
Hi there. I just wanted to call in and say that I'm looking forward to getting back to the Raw Bar over at the Inn at Pompanesset. They got some killer lobster rolls, so as soon as they can figure out how to let us eat outside and keep our distance from everyone else, I'll be heading over there.
Hey, Caleb, stay for a second. Does the outside factor matter to you? Would you be more likely to do a sit-down restaurant that has outside seating than go into a building, or does it not matter? Is it social distancing either way for you?
I would feel much more comfortable for a place that has outdoor seating, and I think a lot of places up here on the Cape are, you know, have a little bit of an advantage on that because you can keep a little bit more distance between people. You don't have to worry about squeezing behind tables and things like that.
Thanks for that call, Caleb. You know, Tim, is there physical setup that you can play with that may allow you to invite diners back in a way that makes them more comfortable?
I think social distancing now is in everyone's mind. Unless we actually build booths with plexiglass for every table at this point in time, which I you know, that's not a road I want to go down on. But to invite people in, everybody needs to feel, you know, there's enough distance between them and the next table. And also the person, the wait staff that's going to wait on them as well. I mean, do they need to be wearing gloves, masks? Again, it goes back to what are the rules when we get to that level. And I have to agree with Nia that, you know, even before this hit, that help was incredibly hard to find, and now I believe it's going to be even more difficult. So we have challenges ahead of us, and time will tell. I hope we get through this, and I hope it's quick, but I think it's going to be around for a little while longer.
That's Tim Athanasiadis, the owner of Asperia Grill in Brighton, and Nia Grace, proprietor and general manager of Daryl's Corner Bar and Kitchen in the South End. I appreciate you both coming back today, and we'll be thinking about you and rooting for your businesses as we go forward.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
If you become sick with COVID-19, federal health officials advise you to stay home in one room, separated from any other people. That's difficult for anyone, but imagine what happens if you live with someone else in a one-bedroom Boston apartment with just one bathroom. WBUR's Shira Springer has the story of Jeff Harvey and Dana Hindman.
We love it. I mean, it's a great location. It's, you know, in the heart of South Boston.
That's Dana Hindman describing the apartment where she lives with boyfriend Jeff Harvey.
Jeff's actually been living here for 5 years now.
Just about 5 years, yeah.
And I moved in almost 2 years ago.
And when Dana tested positive for COVID-19 in late March, she stayed in the 900-square-foot apartment with Jeff. He never thought of going anywhere else.
I don't think it would have made sense with the way our apartment is and just, I wouldn't want to just leave her alone either when she's going through that.
Living with Dana, Jeff had prolonged exposure to the virus. He figures he was probably positive but asymptomatic. Meanwhile, Dana struggled with many of the familiar COVID-19 symptoms. Shortness of breath, body aches, and
I had pretty severe chest pain that was pretty debilitating. I mean, it was really scary. It felt like nothing I had ever felt before. And then this nasty cough that was really, you know, debilitating and uncomfortable.
Dana described her symptoms as mild, but then she said that the chest pain wrapped around her body from back to front and felt like a constant weight on her lungs. There were too many sleepless nights to count and long days filled with fatigue. And the emotional ups and downs of the virus proved equally tough to handle. Through it all, Jeff was there as caretaker, doing whatever he could to help.
There would be times where there was some hope where she was getting a little bit, she felt like she was getting better, but, and then all of a sudden it was just like back to square one, like it, this, like just the coronavirus was just as bad as it had been day one. And so that kind of, that emotional roller coaster just kind of got to me as well.
Most days, Dana would lie on the living room couch while Jeff sat nearby and worked from home at his job in finance. And even though they spent all day together, it wasn't always easy to know what Dana needed.
Jeff may not have a lot of medical knowledge, but he is, he's been a support system in my life for, you know, 4+ years, and I can't imagine going at this alone. So I think that's been the biggest thing for me.
A lot of extra hugs throughout the day, too.
A lot of hugs.
With her on the couch, just coming over.
Yeah.
Giving her a little cuddle for a minute or two.
Yeah.
I think that's helped, hopefully.
So did riding out the coronavirus together in a one-bedroom, one-bathroom apartment make them closer? Make them a stronger couple?
Everything like this, you know, makes people stronger. But I feel like we were pretty strong going into this anyway. So I don't know. I guess we'll see when we come out of it, right?
Dana still has a lingering cough, but she's come out of the worst of it. Last week, Dana returned to work as a physical therapist. She's out of the apartment and treating COVID-19 patients now, helping some of the severest cases regain mobility. She knows what her patients have experienced, and she has a good idea what it's been like for their caretakers, too.
That from WBUR's Shira Springer.